All right, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to read just two verses of Scripture, verses 11 and 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And if you could, please, if you're able to, stand in honor of God's Word. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and Heavenly Father, once again, we pray that you meet with us, and we desperately need to hear from you. Heavenly Father, it just seems like the influences of the world are so much, but Heavenly Father, this is a time where we can hang around God's people and fellowship and uplift each other and love each other, and Heavenly Father, to be able to sing praises to you and hear the preaching of your word. Once again, I pray that you just meet with us this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Samuel here is telling us about David's mighty men. One of the most intriguing groups of people, I think, are David's mighty men and the highly trained soldiers who fought with David. And they were the ones that aided in David's victories. Among these men were also a list of people who were David's personal bodyguards. And these men and their exploits are described in these verses. I want to focus this morning on one of these three men. And the man's name is Shammah. He is described here as a man who took a stand against overwhelming odds and won a great victory by the help of the Lord. And I believe everybody loves a good underdog story and somebody who stood. And by the way, God plus anyone equal majority. And we see here that the Bible tells us that the Philistines attacked the people of God. The unfortunate part is when the Philistines arrived, all the people ran away. That is, except one man. His name was Shammah. He took a stand in a field of lentils. What a place that, you know, you'd think of maybe the palace or maybe the wall or nope. His place of battle was the lentil fields. And it'd be like Brother Watson fighting for McDonald's. And so anyways, I don't even know if Brother Watson likes McDonald's. But when it came down to it, there was a reason. And God had a specific person, or God had a specific plan. And he knew that Shammah would take on that task. And we see that he won a great victory. I'd like us to take a few minutes this morning to look at this man's life and what he did. Actually, not his life, just this one story. Because it teaches us a very valuable lesson that we would do well to learn and implement in our life. It is a lesson that I want to focus on this morning, or to preach about, standing in the lentil patch. Standing in the lentil patch. See, there are three aspects of this story that we see here that there is a time to take a stand. There's a time to fight, even while others are running away. And unfortunately, in the fight that God calls us to do, there are many running away. There are many taking the easy road. There are many avoiding the fight. There are many people who just want to be comfortable. And see, comfort is the enemy of God's word. There are times where God expects you to take a stand against all odds. Even when everybody says, you know what, it's a useless fight. But when God calls you to do something, it's a worthwhile fight. We see here in verse 11, and let's read it one more time. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. It was a time of great conflict. The Bible was clear that the Philistines were attacking the people of God. It was a great time of conflict for the children of Israel. It was not an easy time. And we see here that it was when the enemy came. The Philistines here, they would arrive, and, you know, like was the strategy of many armies back then, was a lot of times if they could, and Pastor talked about this a few weeks back, and a lot of times if they could cut off the supply of food, if they could cut off the supply of water, then they would be easier to take. And so the idea behind this patch of lentils is that the Philistine army, if they could come through and trample the field and destroy the crop, then then God's people would be easier to defeat. But we see that the Philistines came when the people were in the field. Most likely, I believe this was the time of harvest. It was a time when people were occupied on the business of getting crops in. They were busy working. And at this point in time, I don't believe that they were ready for war. Otherwise, if they were ready for war, why did they flee? You see, this is still when the enemy comes. A time of harvest is usually a time of great joy. It's a time of people working hard to get their crops into the barn so they can enjoy the fruits of their labor and they can rest from their harvest. And the attention here is focused on what they were doing and not the fact that they were prepared to go to battle. You see, even today, a lot of times armies will take and try and catch people unawares. This is why so many times there'd be air raid sirens in the World War II and whatnot, because they needed to be a lookout, because when they were least expecting it, sometimes the enemy would attack. Well, when does the enemy come against us? A lot of times in the midst of great blessing and reward. Oftentimes he'll come when we're doing wonderful things for the Lord and we're occupied with other things. Well, the lesson that we have that we can learn from this is, how many times do we find ourselves engaged in the busy work of our lives and the busy work of our church when we come under attack from the enemy? Too many times. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we see an account of a church that this had happened to. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And this is an account of someone who was actively involved in doing God's work. But what had happened was the enemy had snuck in and wounded, and they didn't realize it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth up the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the middle of the seven candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And so they're doing things for God. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Listen, these are wonderful things. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not faint. And you start reading the first part of this passage and you think, man, this is a wonderful church. Man, these people are doing great works for God. Until you get to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. With the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. And so we see that they did a lot of things right, but they left their first love. They didn't realize that the enemy had inflicted a mortal wound in their heart. They were busy doing good things. They were busy doing the work of God, but they didn't see the enemy that attacked them. And there was a wound there. You see, God would have His people to be prepared. God wants us to be prepared. You see, He has left nothing without warning. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." If we're not prepared, we can become prey to Satan. And he has not also left us without an example. When we read Nehemiah chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18, we see the building of the wall and how Jerusalem lay waste, and Nehemiah has the vision here, but listen, when it comes down to it, they knew that the enemy was going to be attacking. They knew that there was opposition. And so what had happened? The builders also had their swords, that they were also ready for a battle because they knew that there was opposition. You see, while the enemy came to Israel for only two reasons. Number one, to inflict casualties. And number two was to destroy the crops. The Philistines knew that if they could wound the enemy and bring them to a place of hunger, that they would be easily defeated and enslaved. So those soldiers would march to the field and trample down the crops, and they would slaughter anyone who stood in their way. And I'm sure this got out, and this is the reason why most people fled. The same is true concerning our enemy, the devil. He has come for two reasons. One, to inflict casualties. And two, to destroy the crops. He attacks us so that he might weaken us, so that we might easily be enslaved to his will. And you realize that a lot of times, Satan doesn't want you to do what he wants you to do. Satan wants you to do what you want to do. Because the Bible talks about that the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. You know, Pastor had it right. You know, we watched the Disney shows and, oh, follow your heart, follow your heart. That is one of the worst things that we can do as a Christian. The Bible warns us all about this. I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. The devil doesn't mind that we're here going to church. Do you realize that? The devil doesn't mind us singing. And by the way, everybody did a great job on the singing. It was awesome. I heard a lot of people singing. And there was a lot of people that I didn't hear singing. And I thank God for that. No, just joking. But do you realize that God doesn't mind if you sing, or the devil doesn't mind if you sing? The devil doesn't mind if we preach. Do you realize that? The devil doesn't mind you calling yourself a Christian. The devil doesn't mind anything that we do. However, when we decide that we're going to get serious about serving God, that's when trouble will come. The devil will attack us when we pray fervently in spirit. He will attack us when we begin witnessing for God. He will attack us when we decide to take a stand for the Lord. When we decide to take a stand, trouble is on its way. As long as we are willing to do nothing, we are of no threat to the devil. As long as we're not serious about our prayer life, as long as we're not serious about reading the Bible, as long as we're not serious when we decide that we're not content to be a lukewarm Christian, when we decide that we're not content with just being like all other Christians around us and the other churches in town, that listen, that they tuck their Bible, you know what? A lot of Christians across America, they're willing to tuck their Bible under their arm and march into church. And you know what? The devil's okay with that. They're willing to open a hymnal and read it and sing it. And the devil's okay with that. They're okay with you sitting through a service hearing the preaching of God's word. But I guarantee you, the moment you decide that you're going to come down to an old-fashioned altar and make decisions based upon the Word of God, the devil is going to start fighting you. The devil is going to start fighting you when you decide to go above and beyond everybody else. When you decide you're going to be a shaman and say, you know what? Other people may run from the battle, but I'm going to stay and fight. I'm not saying this to discourage you, but to awaken us to the fact that there are forces arrayed against us today that would love to do more than just, those forces would love to defeat us. You see, what the enemy found was, in this passage, they look around and all the people have fled from before them. What the enemy found what they thought was no opposition. Normally they would march into a field and everyone would just flee in terror. They could slaughter some people and they could trample the crops and it was fairly easy. Kind of sounds like the churches today across America. Things are going along fine, so I'm not going to stir up trouble. You know, when it comes down to it, they say that 99% of churches across America flee the scene when the battle rages. See, they're all willing to put the bands up on the platform. They're all willing to, you know what? I know the King James Bible is outdated. I tell you what, that's one of the biggest mistakes that a church can make. And they'll take and they'll try and appease the people. Never forget, there was a church in Michigan, the Happy Church, remember that? The pastor went around to the community and he said, "What do you want in a church?" And he compiled a list, and what they wanted turned into be the Happy Church. The Happy Church didn't preach out of the Word of God. And you know what? Sin wasn't ever mentioned because that's not happy. And you know what? They brought in the rock band and they brought in different things. And what they failed to ask was, what does God want my church to be? And that church was closed in 3 years. You see, they let the enemy sneak in. They let the enemy, and they weren't willing to stand in the lentil patch. This is why many churches and individuals are falling apart today. God is looking for some people that have courage to stand up and say, look the enemy right in the eye and say, you know what? By the grace of God, you're not going to destroy this lentil patch. But too many times we're involved in the things of this world. Too many times we're just like our lost peers. We're worried about some stuff. But when's the last time we were worried about lost souls? Enough where we were willing to bring those lost souls the gospel. When was the last time that we took and decided that we were going to live for Jesus just the way we should? You see, when we do, when we decide that we're going to go above and beyond, the devil will fight us. God has placed His church in the world to be a light for God's glory. And many times we're not even willing to stand to protect that which was God has given. Oh, that God would give us somebody that's willing to stand in their lentil patch. Too many times we say, you know what, I'm not willing to stand. Too many times we say, well, I'll miss church for this reason or that reason. And too many times we don't realize that there's even a battle going on because we're AWOL. Too many times we decide that we're not going to get involved in ministries. We're not going to stand up and we're not going to help out. Too many times we just say, you know what? I'm comfortable. I'm here where I am. I know God has a work to do, but I'm not the one to fill it. Oh, that God would raise up Shammahs in this church and around America. But what is found in churches across America is the same thing Philistines found at this time. Because there was a conflict, no one was willing to stand. But in verse 12, we find the contrast. Verse 12, the Bible says, "But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Because at this time, it was also a time of great courage. The Bible tells us that he stood. Imagine the resolve in his heart that said, this is an important lentil patch. And he was willing to fight in that lentil patch. He was not going to run away. The Bible doesn't talk about if he had ran away in the past. We don't know if maybe the reason why he had so much resolve is because he saw other lentil patches or other fields that were vital. We don't know, because we do know that that lentil patch was vital for the feeding of the people that he loved. He knew that without that food, that the people that he cared about would starve. He was going to stand and fight, even if it cost him his life. You see, just like Shammah, there are things worth fighting for. So is it in with churches. We can stand back and just watch our churches across America go the way of the world. We can run away and hide while the enemy tramples everything we love under his feet. Or we can decide that we are going to take a stand. We can make up our minds that we are tired of seeing the devil hinder the work of God. Because as we read the Bible and as we draw closer to him, we realize that there are some things worth fighting for. God is looking for someone that has the desires of Christ to stand for what he believes in. This is the emphasis in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The Bible talks about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. God is saying, listen, there is a fight as Christians. Too many times people think, well, you know what? Christians are just love and we think of Christians like the Amish where they can't raise a hand. They can't do things. No, God calls his Christians to fight at times. There are things worth fighting for. There are things that the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There is battlefields in the Christian life. There are some things where God demands that, hey, listen, they're protected. Why are they protected? Because they are vital to the life of a Christian. They are vital to our church. And if we love this church, if we love what she stands for, if we love this book right here, you know what? We are going to be willing to battle this lentil field right here. You know what? We're not going to be willing to allow Satan to destroy our church. We're not going to be willing to let Satan come in and mortally wound what's going on here to where we have lost our first love. We are called of God to stand and protect this lentil patch. Why? Because the children in this room need someone to love them and protect their lentil patch so they don't starve to death spiritually. We need somebody. You know what? This church is here because many years ago, Pastor Jones and many faithful members decided that, you know what? Bucyrus was their lentil patch. They were going to stand for the things of God. And when the enemy came, they were going to stand in their lentil patch with their sword drawn and say, you know what? The future generation requires me to stand in this lentil patch. Enemy, I am willing to die if you come at me, but I am willing to die because of the future generations and the people I love require a lentil patch to survive. Are we willing to die? Not physically, but when it comes down to it, there's no room for compromise in the life of a believer. We can't compromise on our doctrines. We can't compromise on our standards and convictions. We can't compromise on our choice of friends. Too many times we have friends that those are the avenues of Satan's mortal wounds. We can't compromise on our music. There's, according to the Word of God, there's only one type of music that honors and glorifies Him. And that which resembles the world has no business in the life of a Christian. We can't compromise on the movies. We say, well, you know what? It's only rated. Is it honor and glorifying to God? What about our entertainment? We must have resolve like Shammah. We must not be willing to give one inch of ground to the world, the flesh, or the devil. You say, well, why did he fight? He knew that without food, the people would perish. He knew that that field was vital, and he knew that something was worth fighting for. Let me suggest to you this morning that there are things worth fighting for. This church is worth fighting for. The old-fashioned preaching of this book is worth fighting for. The old-fashioned prayer is worth fighting for. The old-fashioned praising the Lord, clean living, our families are worth fighting for. And by the way, let me say this. If we're willing to run at every battle, our families are going to see that. That next generation is looking for somebody that's genuine. Somebody that walks with God and says, you know what? This is what dictates my heart, my life, not my heart. This is what dictates my life and not the crowd. If God tells me to do it, if God be for me, who can be against me? There are, Because when it comes down to it, I think about the verse that talks about, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. You know what? He found none. You see, if we're willing to allow Satan to have his way with our churches, and he takes away our Bible, what's going to feed the next generation? If we allow Satan to get our hands on our desire to witness, who's going to share the gospel with the next generation? If he takes away our willingness to pray, who's going to call on the Father and stand in the gap of this world? If the world, the flesh, and the devil can silence our testimony with sinful living and intimidation, who will be the next preachers? Who will be the next deacons? Who will be the next Sunday school teachers? Who will be the next leaders of tomorrow? I think every one of us love our church. But the question is, are we willing to fight for it? You see, our church is here because there was people that stood up and said, this is my lentil patch. And those are the people that raised up this generation of leaders in this church. If it weren't for the people that were willing to fight, our church wouldn't be here today. You see, too many times churches are closing across America because people are not willing to fight. And they're sacrificing the generation of tomorrow, the next generation. You see, if the field is not protected now, those who follow will have no harvest to enjoy. Because Satan will trample down the fields of this harvest. The enemy is still attacking the people of God just as the Philistines did. And just like it was then, so are the people of today fleeing the battle. People are abandoning the harvest, and they choose to flee rather than fight. The question is this morning is, where do you stand? Where do I stand? Are we willing to stand idly by while the enemies ransack our church? Or like Shammah, are we willing to take a stand for God, regardless of the consequences, and fight until the victory is won? Will you stand in your lentil patch while others are fleeing? Why not come to the Lord this morning to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, this is my lentil patch. I am willing to fight. I'm willing to fight for those I love in this generation. But I'm willing to fight for the next generation as well. I'm willing to do what is required to do. And you know what? I'm willing to give my life so that that happens. And I know there are some people in this room, possibly, who you're not even in the lentil patch this morning. What I mean is you've never been saved. You don't know what we're talking about. Let me remind you that Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you so much that he died on a cross to save sinners like us. And if you'd like to trust Christ, you know what? We can have someone share with you from the Bible how you can know 100% sure that if you were to die today, you'd be on your way to heaven. Will you come to him? Let's pray. Everybody standing as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, it just seems like the enemy is all around us. The enemy is fighting America because we, for the most part, stood for you. And this nation was founded on In God We Trust. Heavenly Father, whether we realize it or not, we've been reaping the harvest for many years. And if we're not careful, the enemy will have a mortal wound in our heart. Heavenly Father, oh, that we're not like the passage we read in Revelation about how we've left our first love. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to draw closer to you. Heavenly Father, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that you help them to take care of that before it's eternally too late. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be willing to stand for our lentil patch. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.